When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our Cinco de Mayo edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner, and that will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch. That will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And oh my, for a Cinco de Mayo Sunday, the first Sunday of May, it is absolutely gorgeous. And what are we talking about? 80 degrees today? Holy mackerel. And bright, well, a sunshiny face on the other side of the table. Yeah, yep, dimples and all. Uh-huh, he just made him bigger. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Mike Roberge, here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Martha. You are exposing all of my secrets.
What, your dimples?
Yeah.
I guess we haven't talked about your dimples before, have we?
Nor should we.
Oh, okay. No, well,
in the grand scheme of things, that really doesn't matter.
Well, they're cute. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. So,
but it is an incredibly nice day.
Did you arrange this incredible weather?
I would actually, if I'd arranged it, it would have been for next week. For Mama's Day.
Oh, for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Well, according to the long-range forecast that I saw on the news last night, it very likely is happening again next week. There was no rain in sight, and they said by next weekend it's going to be heating up again, and we could have another 80-degree weekend.
Wow.
Wow is right. And how yesterday? Does anybody know what yesterday? Oh, well, let's just say the rest of the crew is here. Call screener Kathy's here. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Martha.
And in the private mood lighting studio would be Aji jumping up and waving. Hi, Aj.
Hello, good morning.
There she is. And I guess I'm so excited today because it's a Vet Sunday. And even Kathy, look at her. She's all like, oh boy, because we have a very special guest in the studio. And that would be board certified veterinary ophthalmologist, Dr. Tom Sullivan is here. Good morning, Dr. Tom.
Good morning to you.
And he's all dressed for sunshine. You got a t-shirt and all of that. And
exactly.
Looking very comfortable.
It's beautiful out.
It is. It is. Does anybody know what yesterday was?
May 4th?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I know.
Was it not the opening season?
Oh, it was opening.
Was it boating season? Right. Boating season?
Crew races.
Now, crew races, all of that.
Uh-huh.
Now,
Huskies
is it
won
not
both.
Usually raining like you
Always.
Know what or freezing right. ass cold,
yep.
but it was like, you know, high 70s, and I'm sure the Motley Cut was absolutely beautiful.
It was
yesterday.
Packed.
Did anybody go? Obviously, none
did
of you guys home? Were there.
I did not.
Well,
but I checked in.
Oh, okay.
I have my sources.
Are you a boater, Dr. Tom?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. But not enough to be out there yesterday.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Didn't leave
my idea of a good day boating is to be on somebody else's boat.
That would be my idea, too. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Because I grew up in Laurelhurst. So, like, the Motley Cut is, like, the neighborhood and all of that. But I don't know that I... I'm trying to rethink if I was ever out there on the log boom. I don't think I ever was.
Did you have lots of friends that took you out on their boats through there?
Lots of offers, but, I'm not big on crowds. And when and where we lived up on the hill, because we're on the top of the hill in Laurelhurst, mm-hmm. and so had a spectacular view of the lake.
Wow.
I mean, I saw the crew like every day.
Yeah.
So it was like not that big a deal. And to go down there and deal with, I was on the log boom once for the Hydra races. But no, I don't think I ever did.
Boating to a Husky football game is quite fun.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get there.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people do that.
Leaving can be a bit precarious, depending on how much booze people put down. A lot of drunk captains out there.
I can tell you what I did do a lot, because I have been in the Montlake Cut a lot and around that area and around that part of Lake Washington, because, you know, you can rent canoes. At least I assume mm-hmm. you can still
can.
Rent
mm-hmm.
canoes.
Yep. And kayaks.
And kayak. Well, there was no such thing as kayaks back in the dark ages when I was a kid. But we would, anytime we got a chance, we would rent canoes and go paddle our way all over Lake Washington around there. And we had grand times. So I've been out there a lot, just in canoes, not motorboats and that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I don't know when the last time this happened, but I think we talked about it during the winter. Before the weather really changed, Lake Washington around Foster Island used to freeze over in the winter. And there was two winters when I was young. I was in grade school, like sixth grade, probably fifth, sixth grade, that it froze over enough that we could ice skate. And so we were ice skating all around Foster Island in the winter.
In the good old days.
In the good old days. And I don't remember anybody falling in the drink. And of course, because it got close to the marshy areas, it wasn't frozen. But I guess we were maybe wiser children at that point. Nobody fell in or drowned or anything. Or we were lucky. That's probably it. But anyway, I'm one of the few, I think, that can say I ice skated on Lake Washington two winters in a row. So there you go. Now, I don't know how we got there, but... All right, it is Cinco de Mayo. It is the 5th of May, the first Sunday of May. It is a Vet Sunday. Dr. Tom Sullivan's here. And we're not going to do much else other than concentrate on Dr. Tom, veterinary ophthalmology. I've got tons of questions. We will at some point open the phone lines for your calls and questions. I do have an event happening today I need to tell you about, a little bit of follow-up. And some good news, best good news about animals, around 10:50 or so as usual today will be current events. And there are several new items on current events as well as the event happening today. And then, of course, our generous sponsors, Designing Health, are continuing their Missing Link giveaway. So we will be giving away a full bag of Missing Link to the winning caller when that happens. And if you... don't know what the Missing Link is, it is designed to add what's missing to your animal friend's diet. So the cheaper and the crummier the food you feed, the more you need the Missing Link, because it adds the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils and the enzymes and the raw ingredients and the fiber and that sort of thing. And we are giving away the ultimate feline formula. There are two formulas for dogs, hip and joint, skin and hair coat, and there is a bird formula. There's also a horse formula, but we don't give away the horse formula. They don't want, you know, I mean, that's a 5-pound bag to me. And because we don't mail out coupons, we mail the whole bag. You get a real whole bag. And at any rate, the way you win is listen for me to do the Designing Health Missing Link commercial, and I will give you the Missing Link words of the day. And then that's your cue to pick up the phone and call Kathy or Ajie, tell them the Missing Link words of the day, and then you get to choose which variety of Missing Link you would like for your animal friend. So jot these phone numbers down. You will need them sometime during the show, and I'll give you a hint when we're getting close. And you'll also need these phone numbers if you want to call in and ask a question of Dr. Tom Sullivan today, or if you have a comment. And remember, if you're too shy to go on the air, you can call Kathy or Ajie and ask them your question. They'll ask for you, or you can email us. And so write these numbers down. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1, 888-298-5567. 5569. And if you want to shoot us an email, you can do that while we're on the air to our live email address. It's very simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Remember to only use that while we're on the air, because the only time we check that inbox is while we're doing the show. All righty then. I think we've covered all the official bases. So are we ready to officially get rolling? Yeah, it's 10 after 9. We should start the show, don't you think? Okay. Let's do that. All right. We start officially every week honoring the great soul that has been guiding, overseeing my work with the animals for the last 20, 25 years. In his honor and at his request, we start with St. Francis of Assisi's peace prayer. So here we go. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. We are official. And let's see. Before I get to that, let me tell you, happening today is a Positive Alliance adoption event. It is the Puyallup, it's the Cinco de Mayo, Puyallup Pups and Purrs. And it is today from noon to 3 p.m. It's at the Puyallup PetSmart. The address is 10309 156th Street East. That's in Puyallup, and it's in Sunset Village. There will be more than 100 adoptable dogs and cats from 16 different animal rescue agencies on site, you know, plus, you know, folks to help you make the right choice for your family and pick the right animal friend. And let's see, PetSmart is also hosting a free workshop from 10 to 11:30 a.m. to have your questions about adoption and pet parenting answered by the experts. So, something you might want to consider doing today. But speaking of that, if you're going off to an adoption event, if you're going off to any event today, and Dr. Tom, I'm sure that you can chime in on this, we're not used to having this kind of hot weather in May.
Absolutely. We're not used to this hot weather any time of the year.
Yeah, and 70, 80 degrees is 70 to 80 degrees, whether it's in August or May. And I want you to be very careful. If you go out today or any of the days in this warm stretch that we're taking and decide to take your dog friend along, probably not a good idea because you can cook them. No hot dogs on Martha's watch. And I'll tell you that even on a 70-degree day, even with the windows partially rolled down, it only takes 10 minutes for the car to heat up enough to cook your dog. So now that's if your car's sitting in the sun. Shade is a different story. But the other thing I want to remind you of is that the sun moves. So if you go to an event and you park your car in the shade thinking that your dog is okay, that's not necessarily the case, because the sun may moves, and if your car then is in the sun, you're in trouble. Now this also applies to children and anything else that's alive in your car. So please be careful. Don't take them with you. If traveling with your animal friends is something that you like to do, even in the warm weather, then I strongly urge you to check out Mutt Managers and get some breeze guards for your car. They are a phenomenal development. It was, you know, my product pick of the year a few years ago when they came out. But they are custom-built screens for your car windows that you can have them in the front and the back windows so that you can completely roll all the windows down in the car and have full ventilation both ways and still have your car be secure and your animal friends be safe. So you can check that out. They're made by Mutt Managers. They're called Breeze Guards. And I think you can Google search either one of those and come up with the website. But they're made locally here the Redmond area, then they're phenomenal. So please be careful about your animal friends. And if you leave them at home, make sure that they aren't confined to an area in the sun and can get out of the sun. I've had stories of the years of clients that I've known that have debilitated animals. They left them in front of like sliding glass doors, went off to work, the sun moved, the dog, you know, or the animal couldn't get out of the sun and they cooked. This would apply to anything in a cage or a tank, all of those sorts of things. Make sure that you're paying attention to what the sun is doing, what the temperature is, and make sure that your animals have water and have access to get out of the sun. And I saw a news report last night that happened in California, and people had a beautiful cedar home and deck, and they had a stainless steel bowl out on the deck, water bowl for the dog. The sun, fortunately, the lady was home. And she looked out her window and she thought it was steam. And she went out to look. It was smoke that the sun had hit that stainless steel bowl just right and projected a beam of light onto the siding of the house. And it had started the house on fire. So just saying, that was on the news last night. It just happened in California. So be careful about stainless steel bowls and them being next to your house where they could.
Well, I was thinking that you were going to say the water had gotten too hot for the animal.
Well, that's a possibility, too. But, you know, starting the house on fire is is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anything else? Dr. Tom, would you like to add anything about heat and our animal friends?
I would. That's all perfect advice. The one thing I would add is, especially in dogs, the shorter your nose, the more susceptible you are to overheating.
That's
so
true.
Dogs
so the
cool
smashed
off by panting. And the dogs with very compact noses, English Bulldogs, Pugs, Boston Terriers, the harder they pant, their small airways and the excess tissues tend to start to swell. And it's very easy for them to overheat as compared to an average nosed dog.
Now, speaking of those kind of dogs with a smashed nose, do they not also have some peculiarities related to eye stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll have to touch base on that. And I intend today, not only do I want to just chat with Dr. Tom and we'll talk about, you know, our background together and his background and what he does and all of that sort of thing. And because he works on all kinds of animal eyes, I think anything, if it's in an animal suit and has eyeballs, Dr. Tom will treat it. Is that correct?
That's correct. Just humans. That's the only species I'm not licensed for.
So, well, I don't know about you, but when years ago when I worked with Dr. Paul Dice, who was like the first veterinary ophthalmologist in this area, and since he's not here anymore, I suppose I can say this, but he would treat our human eyes. In fact, I will tell you, my husband at the time was having eye problems, and the human ophthalmologists were not being successful in dealing with it, and they didn't know what to do, and he was going blind. And in fact, he walked out of their offices being told that he was going to be blind in a very short period of time. And I said, don't even go home. Get down here now. And Dr. Dice looked at him. Dr. Dice saved his eyes.
I am not surprised.
And you know what it was? He had, I believe, if I remember correctly, he had a chlamydial infection in the eyes. And they were using topical steroids.
Wow.
Wasn't working.
No.
Paul said, systemic. Gave him orals, and boom, cleared it up right away. But, you know, they had told him. Now, this was a long time ago. Hopefully they've learned something. Human ophthalmology has learned something since then, or these, but whatever. But this was probably, 30 years ago, if it was at all. It was probably in the early 80s.
Wow. We don't see a lot of human chlamydial infections here unless people have a lot of exposure to pet birds or other animals. So it's not an endemic problem in the Pacific Northwest. Sometimes the doctors don't look for things that they don't see commonly.
Yeah, that could be. But whatever, Dr. Dice saved my husband's eyesight.
Paul is the reason I came out here. I came out here originally just to work with Paul for a year or two.
And so we'll come back to that. Let's see. Okay. We have, first of all, in the follow-up department, just want to, tell Dr. Tom, we have over the years, it has become a regular feature of the show. I don't know that feature is the appropriate word, but we pretty much every week for I can't remember how long, we have had to do some kind of pet food recall or alert. And it's just been getting really out of hand. But the first good news today is, guess what, folks? No recalls! Woohoo! And it's been happening every week for and sometimes fistfuls, right? We have to celebrate. Woohoo! No recalls this week. Yay! All right, now the last thing in follow-up before we get to the good news is... just to find out, did any of you watch my favorite TV show last night?
I did.
Yeah. Tell Dr. Tom what my favorite TV show is.
Oh, Jackson Galaxy.
Cat from Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever watched the show?
I have not.
Oh,
Animal
you
Planet.
Have
to. Animal Planet. The new shows air Saturdays at 8:00, and we're in a new season now. And Jackson Galaxy is this just goofy feline behavior therapist, and he's a rocker at night, so he's tattooed all over, and he's got face weird hair on his head and his face and all that kind of stuff, and he carries all his cat supplies in a guitar case, shows up in an old custom convertible, but the guy is phenomenal. He is the best feline behavior therapist I've ever seen, and The each season gets better, the shows get better, and you watched last night, Kathy.
Yes,
wasn't it?
I did.
It was a great show,
it was
wasn't
good.
It? Now,
was
were
good.
You want the first?
The first story.
He does two stories, each a half an hour each, because it's an hour show. And the first story is a guy and a girl living together. He had a cat, she had a cat, and the guy's cat is bullying the girl's female cat. And
he's proud of it.
And the guy, the owner, is proud of it. And the guy is
a jerk.
I could think of a lot of other words for the guy. But were you watching the intro to that? And it's like, she needs to get rid of that guy.
I know.
And I mean, him and his cat out. And sure enough, within 10 minutes, they'd broken up and she's out. She moved out. Thank goodness. The guy was just a jerk. But it was very interesting. He had he continued to work with the woman because he had to work with the woman and her female cat because the cat was so traumatized, so abused by this other male cat that they had to work at rehabbing that cat and building her confidence back up and getting her to like men because she hated men. But it all worked out very nicely. Unfortunately, she dumped the guy. And the woman even said, you know, Jackson kind of worked like a therapist for me.
Right.
And it was a very, very good outcome. And the second episode or case was also a really good one. And if you have a case of if your cat is urine marking in the house, is aggressing at the windows related to cats or wildlife in your yard, it was the definitive show because he showed almost all of the deterrents that you can use to keep other animals out of your yard and then how to get the cat all balanced. By the time he was done, it was great. It was really, really a good show. And so if you haven't seen it, you can go to animalworld.com or animalplanet.com. Go to My Cat from Hell. You can watch it online, or they generally repeat this week's show next Saturday. And there are several reruns on Saturday as well as the new show at 8 p.m. But it is a phenomenal show. And then if you need help in person because you can't find the answers on the show, you can call me because that's what I do. So there you go. All right. Now, I was going to say, I do have news today. And Mike is reminding me that even though we're here till noon, we do have to sort of maintain a schedule. So that means before we do, we're going to do the best good news about animals. Before we do, we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors. It is the most important part of the show because without them, there's no us. So please pay attention, listen, support them, thank them, and stay right where you are because we'll come back with a very short version of the best good news about animals. And then we are talking animal eyeballs. Dr. Tom Sullivan from the Animal Eye Clinic in Seattle is here, and we'll be spending the rest of the show with him. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
BioClean Incorporated is a fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractor working under the authority of the Washington State Health Department. BioClean helps with extremely difficult situations, including hoarding of both objects and animals, the cleanup of trauma scenes, rodent infestations, mold issues, and cleanup of the aftermath of sewage and flood events. If the unthinkable happens to you and you're faced with a situation that involves a crime, trauma, or tragedy, you need to call BioClean. The entire staff at BioClean Incorporated pride themselves on combining compassion with expertise and professionalism. Serving all of Washington State, BioClean offers professional certified 24-hour emergency service with no additional charge for night or weekend calls. At BioClean Incorporated, you're more than a customer, you're someone they want to help. The BioClean professional cleanup team are experts at eliminating odors, contaminants, and biohazards. Call BioClean at 888-412-6300. That's 888-412-6300 or visit BioCleanWA.com for more information. In Clover is introducing a new canine skin and coat supplement called Glow. Glow is a revolutionary new soft chew clover-shaped supplement that gets into the root issues of optimal skin and coat health. Glow combines a complete blend of clinically tested DHA Gold Omega-3, biotin and zinc, along with a bioavailable and tasty nutrition from the whole fresh eggs to allow Glow to work from the inside out to nourish and soothe our dog's skin. Get Glow for your dog's comfortable skin and shiny coat. Go to inclover.com for more information and where to buy. Interest rates are low and you're considering refinancing. But where do you go? You want an experienced lender and a reputable company. Someone who offers VA, FHA, conventional, investment, and reverse mortgages. You want a mortgage lender who works with 65 different investors and someone who shares your values, someone you can trust. That someone is Margaret Peggy Kaler, Senior Loan Officer at Cornerstone Home Lending Incorporated. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615 or visit PeggyKaler.com. It's a smart move. NMLS number 393352 and WA-CL 803075. Worried about bed bugs? Discreet Green is committed to bringing you products that are completely all-natural, non-toxic products that are safe for the environment. Offering affordable heat treatments, mattress encasements, bed bug monitors, and safe and sane bed bug sprays and foggers. Bed bugs don't stand a chance. You can also have their highly trained bed bug detection dog, Princess Leah, the bed bug Slaya, sniff them out. They want to serve you in an eco-friendly way. Call them at 206-95-GREEN or online at spraybedbugs.com for more information. EarthPet invites you to their newly expanded location at 1175 Northwest Gilman Boulevard in Issaquah, where you'll find a friendly, knowledgeable staff, gifts for animals and people, top quality all-natural pet food, and pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. So stop by Monday through Friday between 10 and 8, Saturdays 10 to 7, and Sundays 11 to 5 to meet the store cats and resident rabbit. There's even a self-service dog wash now open in pet-friendly EarthPet, the Wetlands. And don't forget to check out EarthPet's Facebook page.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And by the way, this show is important enough that you really need to stay where you are and listen to the show. And besides, you know, with the dew on the grass and stuff, it doesn't dry out until noon anyway, so there's no point being out there. So stay in bed, get your coffee, listen to us. You can crank up all the weed whackers and the mowers and all that stuff at noon. All right, before we get to our Vet Sunday and talking about veterinary ophthalmology and animal eyes, it is time for the best good news about animals. We usually play this music to bring out the sunshine, but it's already here. Woohoo! Woo! It does, and we can all attest to that, doesn't it? All right, okay, a couple of best good news stories, and the first one is out of California, and in honoring all kinds of animal eyes, I understand, Dr. Tom, I think you've even told me, you like to work on fish.
I do like to work on fish.
Well, this is a fish story. Wild salmon making huge comeback in California. Have you ever worked on a salmon's eye?
No, I have not.
I can't imagine anybody calling. I have a salmon. Now, it says, for years, fishermen, farmers, and hydroelectric dams were in a tug of war on the Klamath River in California. Finally, the once bitter enemies came together in compromise, even agreeing to the possible destruction of the dams. The ensuing years of conservation efforts helped to create a Chinook salmon population boom last October that saw thousands of them moving upriver every day, nearly double the size of any annual run since 1978. Based on the agreement, the Department of the Interior released the final environmental impact statement on April 4th, and it is recommended full removal of four privately owned hydroelectric facilities in the Klamath Basin. The now three-year-old Klamath hydroelectric settlement agreement laid out the process for determining whether or not the removal of the facilities would advance the restoration of salmon fisheries and how it would impact local communities and tribes. Signed in February of 2010 by more than 40 entities, including the states of Oregon and California, Pacific Corp, three Indian tribes, irrigation communities, fishing communities, and non-governmental organizations, the agreement called for a robust scientific evaluation of the potential removal of these facilities. The salmon bonanza in California follows on the successful restoration of once robust fisheries in Washington state. Last year, following the largest dam removal project in the United States, which gave the migratory Chinook and steelhead trout a chance to spawn upriver in large numbers once again. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar called on Congress, which needs to authorize the dam removal as part of the final agreement. But sounds like we're really making progress there. Maybe the dams are going away. Sounds like a good thing to me. Okay, this story is pretty amazing. Xena, the warrior puppy, rescued from abuse, helps 8-year-old boy with autism. For most of Johnny Hickley's 8 years of life, solitude has suited him just fine. He adores his mom and dad, of course, and he loves his older brother. He also views some special ed teachers as rare, trusted allies. Still, none of those people could get many words out of him. It's not that Johnny can't talk, he knows how to speak, and he can read with proficiency, but autism left him closed off and isolated. Most of his social interactions result in painful awkwardness. Unfamiliar situations can trigger terror, tantrums, or both. Seeking comfort and predictability, he'd embrace solitary activities. On a typical day after school, he'd spend hours playing with marbles in silence. Then, about 2 months ago, everything changed. Johnny forged a connection so unlikely that people familiar with it describe it as a miracle. His confidence brings out the best in him. His playfulness, his cute singing voice, his verbal assessments of everything he sees and experiences. Johnny connected with a dog. He is nonstop chatter now, Johnny's mother says. He has so much to say about his math, about what he did in PE. He's the happiest child that I've ever seen him be in 8 years. Johnny's transformation begins with a miracle that the dog survived to meet Johnny at all. And just this dog was rescued at by an animal shelter. It arrived at the shelter in September of 2012. Now, she weighed 4 pounds. Look at the photograph of this dog.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, it is the it looks like it's an emaciated tan dog laying on a veterinary table, you know, metal table. And it looks like a skeleton with skin on it, doesn't it?
It does. There isn't an ounce of fat or muscle on this pup. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's amazing that this dog even survived. Let's see. They treated the dog with fluids, nutritional supplements, and urgent vet visits. The puppy began to perk up. Veterinary and shelter staff guessed she was about 4 months old and must have been confined and starved in a cage before being dumped. And she just said, you know, crusty skin infections all over. She was completely dehydrated and her nose all scabbed over, probably from trying to escape. Her rapid recovery had them dub her as Xena the Warrior Pup. And someone saw the story, and that was Johnny's mom. So, yes, I fell in love with the dog on the internet and with two other lovable dogs that are a bit too old or frail to play nonstop with a young boy. And anyway, so they adopted Xena. And now the pictures of her, look at her now. And I'm sure you can guys can Google this on air or online and find the pictures. Look at her now with her little autistic boy. Is that unbelievable?
Beautiful.
Yeah, is that unbelievable?
Fat and sassy and happy.
Yeah, a perfect team. Since the adoption, Linda has been providing updates to Xena's 19,000-plus fans on Facebook. So there you go. You can find it on Facebook. An activity that's been a balm to her. At first, I didn't tell anyone that Johnny had autism, and they fell in love with him without judgment. And then when I told them all he had autism, they still loved him. It just brought tears to my eyes. Linda's Facebook experience was so positive, she decided to make a YouTube video featuring her son, so you can actually see the YouTube video as well. And to lend support to the, and they also, it's helping Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Month happening, well, that was last month, but my name is Johnny, and the puppy is Xena, he says in the video. How great is that for the autistic boy to actually be speaking? And Linda says, I really believe God had a plan. These two were destined to be together, to save each other at a level that humans can't understand. How cool is that? Woohoo! So anyway, that's the winner of our best good news about animals. And, well, look at that. Talk about perfect timing. That brings us to our next opportunity to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We will do that right now, and then we come back. We've got the rest of the hour to spend with Dr. Tom Sullivan, a veterinary ophthalmologist from the Animal Eye Clinic in Seattle. We will be focusing on that for the rest of the show. So stay right where you are. Got an education coming. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. The This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and let me tell you about Robin Alexis. She's an animal communicator, gifted past life reader, medium, ghost whisperer, healer, and more. When you call into her radio show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, or when you call her for your one-on-one phone session, she listens to what your metaphysical concerns are. She can clear and rebalance your energy, plus she uses all of her eclectic psychic skills to assist you in reaching your full potential in life. I like and trust Robin so much that I work with her on a one-on-one basis regularly. Plus, I have her as a guest on my radio show, Animal World, monthly. To listen to her show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and to schedule a one-on-one phone session with her, visit robinalexis.com. That's robinalexis.com, or call her for one-on-one phone sessions at 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can call them at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. You're listening to Animal World, and for that, I say thank you. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's the first Sunday of May, and it's an official Vet Sunday here on Animal World. And joining us in the studio, I'm delighted to say, is veterinary ophthalmologist Dr. Tom Sullivan. He's from the Animal Eye Clinic in Seattle. And before we go any further, am I describing you in the right way as a veterinary ophthalmologist? Is there anything other kind of stuff that goes along with what you are?
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah. So you're good with that?
You can't say it any plainer.
All right. Okay. And are you the owner of the Animal Eye Clinic?
It owns me.
It owns you? Okay.
As a matter of fact.
All right. Now, we met, I would say, at least 10, maybe 12 years ago. How long have you been out here?
Since 1995.
95.
Coming up on 8 years. No, 18 years.
Yeah.
I lost a decade.
So I didn't meet you right off the bat. I was very fortunate to know Dr. Paul Dice quite well, who, I believe that I'm correct in saying that he was the first veterinary ophthalmologist out in this area.
He was.
And one of the first in the country, I think.
And
he was a brilliant man. I I worked at Green Lake Animal Hospital, and I managed the office at Green Lake Animal Hospital. And at the time, and this was back in the 70s or 80s, Dr. Dice had the Animal Eye Clinic. The Animal Eye Clinic was his baby, and it was part of it. He shared the building with us. So, like, two-thirds of it was Green Lake Animal Hospital, and the other third of it was the Animal Eye Clinic. And Dr. Dice had a referral-only practice.
Right. And when he first came out, he actually, before Green Lake, practiced in the West Lake area. And in addition to doing ophthalmology, he did back surgeries.
Really? Yeah. So he was like an orthopedic surgeon as well? Or a
neurosurgeon, I guess
I seem. I remember hearing something about that, but I didn't know him then and didn't know of that. But I do remember we had to be very, very careful. And he was ultra careful about how he handled his practice and the patients, especially because the Animal Eye Clinic was inside of Green Lake Animal Hospital, and it was a referral-only practice, meaning that you couldn't walk in off the street to see him as a veterinary ophthalmologist. You had to be referred by another veterinarian. And he kept it as a referral practice, I mean, specifically, I think, to gain the support of other veterinarians. And then I can remember one of the biggest issues was that people would come in with a problem with their animal, usually a dog or a cat, and had a problem with the eye, and it needed surgery or had to stay for something, and say, oh, by the way, would you trim its nails or do this or do that? And it was always, no, can't do anything else, because we didn't want to step on the toes of other veterinarians and have them stop referring.
Absolutely.
So that was one of the biggest issues that I remember. But the wonderful thing was I had the experience, of course, of working with him for all those years and learning a lot about veterinary ophthalmology. And I actually, he was responsible for me falling in love with Abyssinians and getting my first Abyssinian cat, because one of his clients was an Abyssinian breeder and brought in he was a year old, ruddy Abyssinian at the time, and had a herpes infection in his eye. And it was serious enough, and back then, you know, they didn't really know what to do about it, and it had caused enough problem in the eye that it was looking like the eye was going to have to be enucleated or removed, and therefore the cat couldn't be shown or bred and that sort of thing. But the cat had such an amazing personality that we all fell in love with this cat. And then, so I was talking to the breeder one day who was there, and turns out, of course, they weren't going to keep the cat because it couldn't be shown or bred. So and they didn't know what the outcome was going to be with the eye. So I said, I'd really like to have this cat. So they agreed to give me the cat if I would take care of the eye. And then, of course, once the cat was mine, see, then it was okay for Dr. Dice to experiment on the eye. And because at that point, you know, he had recommended that the eye be removed. But once it was mine, he said, well, hey, we could try this. And I said, well, yeah, and we could try that, all that. And he did end up saving the eye itself. He never, it didn't ever look quite right.
Right.
Because he had to remove a bit of the eyelids and stuff to get the infection and so forth. So it didn't quite ever look right. And he didn't have vision in the eye, but he didn't lose the eye. So that was cool. Anyway, so that was my Buzzy. He motored all the time. And Gretchen, I don't know. Did you know Gretchen?
Absolutely.
Know Gretchen, the best tech and receptionist ever.
The best.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was, and it's just Gretchen Kirsch, the red haired gal that ran Dr. Dice's office for many years. And she was just so knowledgeable, so helpful, so wonderful. Anyway, she named him Buzz Around the House. So Buzzy was my boy. So that's how I got my first Abby. So anyway, that was way back when in my history with veterinary ophthalmology. After that time, eventually the practice got so big that Dr. Dice moved the practice out of Green Lake Animal Hospital into its own facility, which I think has changed. You're not in the same location where...
No, we are.
Are you in the same location where he was originally? It just must be, you must have improved it a lot.
It has morphed over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So you are in it would be referred to as the University District area?
Correct.
You're on Roosevelt Way.
We're on the corner of 55th and Roosevelt. Our address is 5339, so every directional object you may have in your car will try to direct you to 53rd and Roosevelt.
Okay, but so all the GPS takes you to the wrong place.
Correct. We're in the U District.
Yeah, so just not in the U District proper so much, but kind of northwest a little bit of the right smack dab University Way and 45th. You're
correct.
Just a little bit north
we
of that.
We border on the Roosevelt.
Yeah, yeah. My old stopping grounds, because, of course, I went to Roosevelt High School and all of that good stuff. So anyway, you came out to this area, did you say, you mentioned earlier, just to work with Dr. Dice?
Yeah, it was basically on a whim.
So where did you come from?
Well, I mostly grew up in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, wow. Other side of the country.
Other side of the country. And after that, to become an ophthalmologist.
So you went to veterinary school back in Connecticut?
I went to veterinary school in New York State up at Cornell.
Because to be a veterinary ophthalmologist, you have to become a veterinarian first, right?
Correct.
And then you have to do special stuff after that, huh?
Correct. So after veterinary school, you have to do a one-year rotating internship somewhere. And for me, that was out at the veterinary school in Colorado.
Okay. Now, did you know when you were in vet school, did you always have an inclination that you wanted to work with eyes? How did you get into wanting to be an ophthalmologist?
My first veterinary job was in Boston, and I was in college. I was at that point at Boston University, and I had always wanted to be a veterinarian. But what was happening is that because I had no job experience in veterinary medicine and had worked in several human medical facilities, I was sort of being pushed towards medical school. I dropped out and actually was lucky enough, the first of many breaks in my life, I was lucky enough to get a job at Angel Memorial Animal Hospital as a technician.
Which is one of the most famous veterinary hospitals in the country.
It is. At that point in time, which is a long time ago, it was one of two or three multi-specialty practices in the nation. So the concept of veterinary specialists is broadly a new concept. And the specialty centers that are more and more common nowadays did not exist at that point in time. So I was lucky enough to get a job, and it was as a radiology technician. And at Angel at that time, we would do about 75 cases a day, and there were rules set. So on the one hand, we would have to get perfect x-rays of limbs or body parts or whatever the doctor needed, but we were not allowed to use sedation, and we were not allowed to be in the room with the animal at the time that the radiograph was taken.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah, so
no sedation and can't be in the room.
Exactly right.
Oh.
So what we did, we had foam squares and triangles, and we had sandbags,
yeah,
and we had sweet talk.
I see.
And we would be a team of two, and one person, we would get the animal positioned in a strange upside down, one leg stretched out type of manner. And one person would then leave the room and be on the controls, and the other would have to exit while calming the animal so they didn't move. And at the last minute, jump out. The first person would snap the...
And that's so that you humans would not be exposed to the radiation of the x-rays.
Exactly.
Is that right?
And that taught me patience.
I would bless your heart, I bet it did. Yeah. Having been in my, you know, almost 20 years of being a veterinary technician and working in veterinary hospitals, for many years I worked, as an x-ray technician. Well, that was one of my jobs, and took a lot of them because for 6 years I worked for one of the first veterinary bone surgeons
Dr. Sandoval.
Orthopedics. No, before Dr. Leo Reyes was first. Now, he wasn't board certified, but he was one of the first that did it in this area. And I helped him open that practice, you know, that then eventually Sinibaldi took over. But anyway, so we took lots of x-rays right. and so forth. So I can hardly imagine how y'all did it without sedation and without being there, you know, with hands on the animal.
Correct.
To help hold them in place and calm them.
And, of course, after going through all of this, more times than not, the radiologist would look and say, do it again.
Oh, joy.
Which also taught me patience.
Yeah, well, you know, because way back when, then, I mean, now there's all this automatic x-ray right. stuff.
Right, and it's digital. You can change the exposures afterwards.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of neat stuff. But way back then, I mean, you're looking at, you take the picture. The picture's what you get. And
exactly.
then you have to go, you know, into the dark room and dip it in all the solutions and wait through all this stuff to get it. And then you need to go through all this rigmarole to get the picture. And then it's blurry. Or it wasn't the right whatevers to get it to see what you need to see. Or it was, the animal wasn't positioned correctly, and so you had to do it again. That was, it was a lot more work than it is these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did that get you to eyeballs?
Well, at Angel, I became aware that there were specialties,
mm-hmm.
and I decided pretty much at that point in time that I wanted to specialize in something rather than generalize.
Mm.
And I worked, I think, for 2.5 years in radiology. After that, I switched and I was a cardiology technician for a cardiologist named Neil Harpster. He was one of the first veterinary cardiologists.
All right.
And then I decided to move back to Connecticut and work in a larger general practice so as to get some experience in that. And there was an ophthalmologist who came to that practice once a month. It's a man named David Kovitz. And he was the happiest human being I've ever met. He would be coming, he'd stroll in, he would be whistling a happy tune while all of the other practitioners were stressed and animals were frightened. And Dr. Kovitz would come in and he was just happy. And his patients were happy and his clients were happy.
Huh.
And that, I think,
and you wanted to be happy,
seed.
Too.
I liked happy. After that, in veterinary school, again, I think it has a lot to do with the people. The people that you are exposed to determine the path that you take in medicine often. And the ophthalmologists at Cornell, again, were the happiest and the, I guess, laid back would be the term that I would use. So I continued to work as a technician in the teaching hospital at the veterinary school all 4 years to help pay and defray the costs of my education. And as a result, I was exposed to the medical portions of ophthalmology and the surgical portions. The surgery, it is a fascinating part of what we do because it is microsurgery. I would watch these ophthalmologists remove cloudy cataract and implant a lens and look, and it was like looking at a ship in a bottle. You'd wonder, how did that get in there?
Yeah,
it's just amazing
yeah.
to me.
You got to have real steady hands to do that kind
you
of
do.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you need lots of coffee to maintain steady hands in the world. After that, I went on, and I had decided by the time I graduated from veterinary school that if at all possible, I would like to be an ophthalmologist. It at that point in time, and still, it's a very, very difficult undertaking because there were only 2 or 3 programs per year that would come up in training opportunities. So again, I was very lucky to get a very good internship at Colorado State. And after that, exceptionally fortunate to place with the group at North Carolina State University. They were really pioneers in the field of veterinary ophthalmology. They brought it into the 20th century.
And so is it correct in saying that you need to go through enough education to then go through a board certification process to become a veterinary ophthalmologist?
Absolutely. So you have to jump through those hoops, if you will. It has to be an approved
residency
program.
How long does it take generally from graduating from veterinary school? Because that's a number of years.
Right. That's 4 years.
4 years. Then how many more years until you get board certified as an ophthalmologist?
It would be 4 more years after that.
Okay, so there's a lot more education.
Yep.
All right. We are going to actually be on time. How is that? That doesn't happen often in the middle of the show. Anyway, we are going to close out the first hour of this week's edition right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.